My name is Ellis. This is my lovely wife, Laura, and we have been married for 7 years.
We've been married for 8 months.
My name is Tony, and this is my wife, Nancy, and we've been married for 22 years.
We've been married for 5 months.
We've been married for 1 year.
That's gonna get me in trouble if that plays, but yeah.
There's no way he would say that. There's no way.
Oh, you had to get tough on me. Black.
No. My favorite color is red.
Blue.
Purple.
Io.
Oh, definitely me.
If you want to get somewhere safe, that's me.
I'm definitely the better driver. He's getting old. Several hours.
I would say 1 or 2 hours.
I can talk all day.
You can cover a lot in 30 minutes.
Romantic date, snuggling, cuddling.
It means that we don't have any secrets.
Intimacy can mean a number of things to me. It could be us cuddling. It can be us talking.
Time to go to bed.
We spent time together. We ate a nice meal together. Went for a stroll.
Just hanging out, family time. Spending more time just with him, like quality time, like alone, and just me and him, like maybe no football.
Chipotle, maybe a nap, and some football.
Oh, bring him back in the room. Let's do this.
Oh, it never gets old. Those are not actors, by the way. Those are real answers. And if you weren't with us last week, today we're in week two of a series called In the Ring, Fighting for a Healthier, Happier Marriage in 2018. And I really believe this series is going to be transformative for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're single or dating or you've been married 5 months or 5 years. What you saw from that video is we probably all need a little bit of help because God designed men and women so differently. I mean, it's almost comical. And what we began to, you know, just kind of dive into last night was this concept that, you know, most difficulties in marriage and dating for that matter come because men and women are totally different. We just are. And so we began to tease out some of these differences last week. You know, we begin to talk about that we all walk into marriage with different expectations and we all have different needs. And when we're dating, we thought maybe we'd be really aligned. And what we begin to experience is that, man, there's a growing gap in just how we're designed. And so we kind of joked last week that when it came to intimacy, men were thinking like, that's the calendar, that's what it's gonna look like, you know? And, you know, ladies were thinking, I thought it was gonna look something like that. You know, maybe it's a little bit different. And so we just had some fun last week talking about these. But the point was, it doesn't matter how long you've been married or where you're at. And it doesn't, you know, we're all different, but there is a gap that happens in every single relationship. So the question's not whether you're going to have a gap between your needs and their needs, your expectations, their expectations. The only question is, how are you going to deal with this? What are you going to do with this gap? And we saw last week, there's a lot of bad decisions you can make to deal with this gap, from leaving to compromise to, you know, control. And we said there's only really one answer that God gives us from Scripture to have a thriving marriage, and that is the most powerful principle in marriage that's found in Scripture in this. That's this, mutual submission. And we looked at this verse last week, Ephesians 5:21, that says that, and this is directly talking to marriages, that we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we talked about this idea of submission, and we said submission is I decide, even when they don't deserve it, that's tough, that I'm going to put their needs above my own. That is the idea of what God asked us to do in marriage. Now, my small group last week had an amazing conversation on this idea of submission, and most of them had to admit, you know, I thought it was really a negative word, and it's really not. And so if you're not in a small group and you don't get to have, you know, transformative conversations that take what you learn on the weekend, you know, into the week, this is the perfect time to get into a group. But last week, I also left you with some homework, and that was for you to have, you know, practice mutual submission and kind of, you know, get a little bit into your spouse's box. And some of you did it, some of you didn't, some of you it was really, really tough. And here's why it's so hard. Because naturally, men view the world through a set of blue lenses, right? It's what we put on every day, and women through a set of pink lenses. So anytime you begin to peer into each other's boxes, I'm telling you guys, we look in here and we're like, that makes no sense at all, right? And ladies, you do the same thing. You're like, he's a little bit broken. I get it, you know? And so we do this to each other, but we have to understand that God did design us differently. Now, here's the problem we're dealing with, I believe. In our culture today, we're being told more than ever that there are no differences between men and women. We are. My opinion, this is one of the most dangerous attacks on marriage today. Did you know, scientifically, you can look this up yourself, that almost every cell in a man's body has a different chromosome makeup than every cell in a woman's body? Almost every cell is different. So make no mistake about it. It doesn't mean we don't have some similarities, but make no mistake, God designed us very differently on purpose. Now, here's the problem. When you walked into your relationship or your marriage, how much training did you have on the differences? Most of us, not a lot. I mean, isn't it ironic that to get a plumber's license, it takes 4 years of training? You know how much training it takes to get a marriage license? Well, zero. It takes 2 willing people and $78 for the license fee. That's it. So we're gonna deal with, you know, some difficulties in marriage when it comes to differences. And so what I wanna do, and the point is that if you wanna have a thriving marriage, you better start understanding these differences at a deeper level in your relationship. And that's what I wanna help you do for the next 2 weeks. What we're gonna do for the next 2 weeks is we're gonna look at the top 5 needs of a man and the top 5 needs of a woman. That's what we're gonna do. Now, these come from a book written by Willard Harley called His Needs, Her Needs, and a phenomenal book if you've never read it. But when we look at these 2 5 needs of each, guess how many of them match up? Well, that would be zero, okay? There's not. And so we've got some work to do, each of us, to kind of dive in and understand each other. And I wanna do that. I wanna start today. Next week, we're gonna look at the top 5 needs of a man. Today, we're gonna start ladies first. And so, guys, I'm going to try to articulate for all of us a woman's top 5 needs. Now, I'm wading into some dangerous waters, right? Because if, you know, this is going to surprise many of you, but I've never been a woman. But I live with 4 females right now, my wife and 3 daughters, so I'm going to do my best. Now, ladies, if I say something that's insensitive or not exactly how you would articulate it, please show me some grace. I'm gonna bring my wife out towards the end and she's gonna correct everything I've said, all right? But guys, here's the verse that I would like us to kind of anchor on today. It comes from the book of 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter kind of dives into marriage, and actually what he dives into is the concept of mutual submission. He talks to women about mutual submission, then he talks about men. Here's the verse he kind of gives to men about mutual submission. It's 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 7. He says, in the same way, in other words, he's just talked to women about mutual submission. He says, guys, in the same way, here's how you're to submit. You husbands must give honor to your wives. Now, the word honor, this Greek word, means to put them in esteem. In other words, to put their needs above our own. Remember, that's the model. And then he goes on to give us a practical way to do that. He says this. He says, guys, treat your wife with, can we say the word out loud? Understanding. So treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Now, this word understanding is actually pretty deep. It means to discover. It means to learn. Guys, we're told if you want to make it work in marriage, you better discover and learn and try to understand your wife. So as we walk through these top 5 needs, just realize, guys, I'm not giving these to you to beat you up at all. I'm giving them to you as a sword and a shield so you can be her hero. Okay, what you really want. And ladies, keep the elbows to a minimum, please, today, because you're gonna wanna do this. And I know when I walk through these 5 for you, not all 5 of these for you, ladies, not all of them are gonna resonate with you. Okay, I know every woman's designed differently, but I believe 1 to 2 of them will really hit a nerve with you at some point. So that's what we're gonna do. Without further ado, let's just kind of walk through her top 5 needs. I'm gonna start with number 5, and we're gonna build some suspense up to number 1. Here's number 5 if you're taking notes. It's family commitment. Family commitment. Now, this doesn't mean that men don't care about family. It just means in general, women oftentimes have a greater desire for there to be family commitment from their husbands. And an example of this would be, I can't tell you the number of married couples I've talked to that the woman would, that the woman in the relationship, the wife would say something like this. She would say, when I really fell in love with him is when I saw how he treated his family. We have a couple in our small group. They just got married, and she said that exact same thing just recently. Why? Because what she's projecting forward is he going to be a good dad? Now, guys, we get confused because we're like, hey, I know I may not be the best dad right now, but I'm not mistreating you. But we have to understand that for her, oftentimes, how you treat the kids and how good of a dad you are, and maybe even how you treat some of her extended family, it's very linked to how she feels and the love she feels from you. It's why we're told this, men, in Ephesians 6:4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. And it goes on to say, raise them up in the instruction of the Lord. So guys, what we have to understand is this. Here's how I'm going to try to summarize each of these in your notes so you can try to remember them. She sees a great husband as a good dad. They are linked more than we want to admit. So single guys, if you want to win that person you're dating out there, man, treat her family awesome. Okay, so that's need number five. Here's need number four, financial stability. Now, sometimes guys start to push back and go, what are you saying? Are you saying that all women are gold diggers? Is that what you're saying? That's not the point. Listen, the key word here is stability. Here's how I wrote it in your notes, summarized. She needs stability, which is very different than wealth. Very different than wealth. Most women are not looking to be rich, or they have to have wealth, and we think that. They really want stability. Now think with me on this. Why is it that so oftentimes we hear stories about a 20-something-year-old woman marrying an ugly, overweight, you know, terrible-looking, like 65-year-old man because he has money? I mean, we hear those stories and jokes all the time. Why is it that on the flip side, we don't oftentimes hear the same story about a 20-something-year-old guy marrying a 65-year-old woman for her money? I mean, you just don't hear those. Why is that? It's because inherently women desire some financial stability a little bit more than men. Now remember, the key word is not riches and wealth, it's stability. I know, and I've talked to some women who would say, I would take a decrease in our standard of living if it meant we'd have more stability. Now, that strikes some guys, you know, weird, but just realize this is big for them. Now, here's number three, if you're taking notes. Number three is honesty and openness. She desires honesty and openness. Now, this is very different than trust. I mean, they're linked, but trust is big for both men and women. But the way maybe I would articulate this one is, oftentimes, you know, guys, when we walk into a relationship, one of the hard things we have a hard time giving up is our independence. And this is especially true as a guy if you got married later in life. We don't like giving up our independence. So, you know, when she starts drilling us with questions like, where are you at? Where are you going to be? When are you going to be home? What'd you do today? What'd you do on the business trip? Well, that feels a little intrusive to us. We're like, man, get out of my business. Why? Well, you know, no one asked me this before. And so we have a tendency to give one-word answers. Hey, when are you going to be home? Sometime. Yeah. What'd you do on the trip? Nothing. You know? And so, and then even if there's something we know that maybe would bother her, maybe we hung out with a group of guys that she doesn't necessarily like, or you know, there's someone at work that we interacted with that she maybe is a little suspect of it. So we began to tell little white lies sometimes, or what you might think of as protective lies. It's like, well, I'm just going to protect her and not tell her everything. But then when the truth comes out, because it always does, this can be devastating for a woman because she wants your transparency. She wants honesty from you. There's so much more to say on this, but maybe I would just summarize it by saying this. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy for her. It is. It's why we're told in Proverbs, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. And what you need to know, guys, is that for her, honesty leads to intimacy. So you got to really watch this one and understand how she's wired. Now, here's number two, conversation. Almost every study done shows that women say about 7,000 to 12,000 more words a day than men. And it's true. There's actually an old Chinese proverb that says this. The tongue is the sword of a woman, and she never lets it become rusty. Some guys are like, that's right. You know, I know that, you know. So, hey, all we have to know as guys is that, hey, she's going to want to talk and communicate probably more than we're going to want to. But the issue is not just the frequency of how often she wants to communicate. Guys, this is huge. It's not just how often, it's how we communicate with her. And this is big. Here's how I wrote it in your notes. She needs communication regularly, in the right tone, and with two ears. Now, before I get myself in any more trouble, I feel like this is a good time to invite out a female voice on this topic. I had to convince her to do this. Would you please help me welcome my wife, Jamie, to the stage? Come on out. You're coming out at a good time. I felt like I needed some help here. So we've covered a lot so far. So maybe just weigh in on where we're at and specifically this idea of conversation.
Well, I think when I look back at our marriage, I think this is one of the areas that we struggled the most with. And
nice. See that nice gentle pat? Yeah, it's nice.
What I remember saying to myself early on is, gosh, he is so smart. He is so amazing. But he is so dumb. Gosh, he doesn't get me at all. Mm-hmm. And so I know this list may feel like super long and holy cow, am I ever going to win anywhere? But just know, like, all we want is for you to walk down the path of progress with us. Because every, the smallest step in progress you can take is better than the greatest gap of intention, right? So now in this area of conversation, this is actually, this part of it is fairly easy. All it really takes is intentional conversation. One-on-one, a few times a week, daily, whatever your wife needs, because remember, everyone's different, and this is where this conversation really is key in a marriage. And for us, what this looks like is, when he comes through the door, I know he doesn't, because we've had this conversation, I know he doesn't want to like jump into it. He doesn't walk through the garage door and I'm like, hey, listen, this and this and this and this and this. He doesn't, because I know he's like, cool, okay. So he doesn't want that. So I know I don't take that personally at all. Because we've had this conversation, what I know is that he is going to be intentional about it because he has a history of it. And so I just kind of am at peace with that. And even if it doesn't happen every day, that's sort of okay with us. So for us, this happens after dinner. We sit down at the table as a family, and this doesn't happen every day, but often it happens. We share a meal as a family. The kids are fed. He's fed. The kids have had some interaction, and I don't know if your kids are like mine, but they scatter. Like, once they're done, they're done. They're off doing their own thing, and then we sit there and have real intentional conversation for maybe 15 minutes of how was your day? How are you feeling about that? Just honest connection time.
And what we realize is this doesn't have to be long. This could be a 15-minute, like, real conversation, just, you know, no phone, you know, no kids. And guys, here would be maybe just a slight tip. What I found is sometimes if you'll just take her hand while you're talking, it just lets her know you're there. And the other tip for doing that is that if you have her hand, it keeps your thumbs away from doing this on your phone, right? And doing this with the remote. I mean, it just keeps you there. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing I had to realize, which man, I just miss this so bad, is that we would talk after I came home, and Jamie would begin to articulate to me some problems that she had during the day. Now, when a woman tells you a problem, guys, here's what we do. We're going to fix it. It's what we do best. So I would be like, here, A, B, C, fix. Here you go, go. And she began to articulate, I didn't actually want you to fix my problem at all. And I'm thinking, then why did you tell me your problem? Why would you do that? And man, this is so hard for guys, us to get sometimes, but here's what I finally realized. And women oftentimes need to process how they feel about a problem before they want you to fix it. Let me repeat that. They oftentimes want to process how they feel about a problem before they want you to fix it. So oftentimes they just want you to sit there and listen to their problem without fixing it, which is so hard, right?
Right. We just want to know that you're listening to us. And I know a lot of times I can fix my own problems. I just want him to validate what I'm saying, or I want to process what I'm saying when I'm doing that. So just some like head cues. Like, even if you're not listening, just pretend that you are.
Yeah. And
that's really interesting. Those are some easy wins that I think anyone can make.
And you have to bite your tongue, because you're going to want to solve a problem. This is so counterintuitive to men. Men, let me ask you a question. Would you ever go to another man with a problem and just want him to listen? Well, no. You're like, that sounds dumb, you know? But you just have to understand, this is just how God wired women. So the reason I put with two ears at the end of that statement, the summary here, is because I believe God's given us a model, men, that he gave us two ears to one mouth. So just remember, she's going to want you to listen twice as much as she's going to want you to talk and solve her problems. So this is big. Now, let's talk about in the right tone, because I think this is where, you know, quite frankly, I struggled the most.
Yeah, you sure did. Well, as most of you guys know, Ashley's a communicator, and it is like the worst to fight with somebody who talks for a living. They can use words that just are so harsh and deep, because they can use words like nobody else can, is what I found. And so for all of you guys who have friends, like, just be sad for them a little, that this is their life. But really, no. When I was trying to explain this to Ashley, I said, what you do to me is like a verbal fillet. And if you've ever gone to like the butcher to get a piece of meat and you ask them to fillet a piece of meat for you, what they're doing is they're carving it and cutting it just perfectly. And that's what I felt like he was doing with his words. He was using these words in such a harsh way that it would cut straight to my heart. And what would happen is I would just shut down. And then like the conversation over, and we couldn't make any progress.
Yeah, let me give you an example. I mean, she said the verbal fillet, we use this a lot. I was like, hey, we're in an argument, chop, 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 chop. I just like rocked your world, right? I mean, and what I did is I felt like if we were in an argument, I wanted to get my point across, I would get harsh and I would use words. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, I would say something like this with my words. Jamie, no rational, sane person would ever think the way you're thinking right now, right? I mean, this is what I'm saying, right? What did I basically say to my wife? I said, basically, you're stupid. And I'm telling you guys, what I didn't realize is the moment that I did this, the conversation, like, it just shut down. And even if she was in the wrong, right, even if there was something she needed to come back and apologize for, it would take her days to come back and do it, like 2, 3, 4, 5 days. And I would get so frustrated. I would say, you are so stubborn. You are a stubborn woman. You know, I mean, you won't come back and say sorry. And what I didn't realize is that actually my harsh words had transferred the conversation from whatever we were talking about. Well, maybe you can articulate it even more.
Right. What I had to explain to him was that when you use, it's not what you're saying, but it's how you're saying them and how you're trying to get me to hear your point of view, what would actually happen is my ears would shut off. And all I could focus on, I would just sit there and watch his lips moving, and I would just be like, you are the meanest husband on the planet. So I couldn't even hear what he was saying. So no, it didn't even matter what he was saying. And it took me days and days and days to really get over that and realize, oh, this one time I was actually wrong, which didn't happen very often. So yeah.
So what happened was, this was huge for me, guys. This was like one of the biggest breakthroughs. And how it happened is finally, you know, we had one of these mutual submission conversations where, remember, I couldn't speak. I just had to listen. And Jamie began to articulate this to me in a way that I actually heard it. And what I finally realized is if I speak harshly to her, she's not going to hear what I'm saying. And now the conversation has shifted from whatever the topic was at hand to now how harsh I'm being. This is big, guys. Light bulbs should be going off in some of your minds. Because we oftentimes talk to another man, you know, another guy, you can talk to him, you can spit in their face, you can punch him in the chest, you can yell. They hear everything you're saying, and afterwards you fist bump and everything's okay. And that's what happens on the sports field, right? But I just want men, you to understand that that is not how God designed your wife. She is much more delicate and sensitive. And that's not a bad thing. Praise God for how he designed her and the strengths that that brings to the family. But maybe let me give you an example, or just a visual. If this helps, great. If not, you can flush it, you know. But I believe that guys, men made us kind of like a copper pot or copper, you know, cup. And so, you know, when you get in an argument with another guy, you know, you can, I mean, there can be all sorts of like this, and you know, maybe there's a couple dents and bruises, but nothing breaks, and you just kind of move on. That's how kind of guys are. Now, here's how I believe God designed, maybe a visual for you. God designed your wife more like this. I mean, really, she's more delicate, and you just have to understand that. So when you come at her in a harsh way, do you understand things break and things crack that then need to heal before she can ever come back and engage in what you were trying to talk about in the first place? So if you guys want to try to remember this isn't in your notes, but you might want to write this down. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. In marriage, I believe this is true. And that's why we're told in Colossians 3, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with her. Do you understand why that command's given to men? Because she is more delicate and you have to watch how you have conversations. So this is need number two, is that she needs conversation frequently in the right tone and with two ears. Now, let's move on and let's talk about her number one need. Guys, can you guess what it is? It is sex. Why are you laughing? Yeah, it's not sex. I'm joking, it's not at all. Some of you guys are like, yes, you know? You ladies are like, well, I don't know what books you've been reading. That is not, you know. It's, so if you wrote that down, scratch it out. Her number one need is actually affection. Now, this is confusing for us guys because we view affection and sex exactly the same. Jamie, is that what most women are thinking?
No.
Okay.
No. So it's not that we don't like sex. So let's just clarify that first and foremost. But what we do have is we have two different definitions of this word that we've been throwing around called intimacy. And when I put on my pink lenses, my view of intimacy, it's that I want to be cherished. It's that I want to be valued. It's that I want to be important to you and that you know who I am, that I'm sharing all these intimate things with. For you, on the other hand, when you put your blue lenses on, the word intimacy is pretty simple.
It's simple, guys. We're simple. Simple guys, yeah.
So, but the goal is the same. We all want intimacy. It's just how we get it looks differently. And that's what creates like a very connected marriage, is when we both have the same level of intimacy that we're looking for. Now, women, we get our intimacy different, and that's what we call sexless affection.
Now, time out. When you say sexless affection, guys are like, what does that mean? You know? And then you use the word cherished. I think maybe a lot of guys are like, oh, I'll cherish you, girl. I'll cherish you all night long. I will, man. I mean, we're confused, right? So you got to give us you got to give us some examples of sexless affection. We're maybe a little slow here.
Ashley and I, for the last few weeks, we've just been really like hashing through some things, trying to just really even more so understand each other. And I was explaining to him this movie, which he's seen, called The Notebook. If you haven't seen it, it is a very romantic movie. It's actually a great movie, great writing, great acting, but it's super unrealistic when it comes to what love really looks like and what longevity in marriage really looks like. It's just a myth. So singles, I would say, if you're getting your version of love from movies like The Notebook, you might as well be getting them from like Harry Potter, because it is just, it's a myth. It's a myth. You just have to know that going into these movies. So how I was trying to describe it to him earlier this week is, I was like, so I don't really need like the version of love that's found in The Notebook. I just settle for like the note card. I think that's good enough for me. So this week, just to make sure I was on the same page, I asked a few women in my life, like, hey, what are some ways that, I didn't give them any other information, just what are some ways that you like to receive affection? And here's what they said. They said, hug me, hold my hand, schedule a date, send me some flowers, write me a note, call me during the day just to see how I'm doing, offer to take the kids so I can have the time off, know my favorite things, and know me. So what you'll find is these are not hard things, but every woman is going to look different. And what you have to do is you have to really just find the affection, the type of affection that she most needs that she's not getting today. And what that means is you're going to have to become a student of your wife. We all study when we want to, you know more things. We read, we do things, and that's what's going to have to happen in her life. And that's what Ashley's really done in these years of just really working on this is he's become a student of me. And so he has notes all over the place so he doesn't forget. And they're all over his phone, all over his computer. And every once in a while, I stumble on one and I'm like, that's true. I didn't even realize that about myself. And the fact that I've seen that, I'm like, he gets me. And that is immediate intimacy. So here are some of the things you can say if I'm right or wrong. I like candles.
Yep, I have that down.
Okay,
yep.
Good. What kind of candles?
You like fruit yes. Smelling candles. Fruit. Yes. Yes.
I like it when he helps me do the dishes. Mm-hmm. True. Yep. I do not like flowers.
Nope.
True. And French fries are a food group when they come from In-N-Out.
Yes.
Yes. So this week, what was really an interesting thing that happened is Ashley brought me home a potted flower. And so what do you know if I just said, I don't like flowers. And I don't like flowers, here's why. I have so many things to keep alive in my life, it's ridiculous. So when I get a flower, I'm like, it's a reminder of one more thing I have to do or take care of. So I've just been like, they're expensive, no flowers. So he brought me home this flower, and he pushed it and presented it, and so proud. And I was thinking in my mind, dude, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna have to tell him, I can't lie and be like, I love it. I love flowers. You know me. Thank you. I didn't know what to do. So I'm literally sweating it out the whole time, and he presents it. And but he says to me, hey, listen, I know these aren't your favorite, but what I do know is you like to be taken care of. So here's your flower. Here's a flower for you, and I'm gonna take care of it. I'm gonna water it, take care of it. Mm. Right? I know.
Every once in a while, guys. I mean,
he went, and the reality is he went from so dumb to this. And it doesn't take a lot, but what it created, I've seen it on my counter every day, and I see how beautiful it is, and I'm like, this is because he knows me. And this is because we have created an intimate marriage, and he knows the kind of affection I want. Now, here's where he's gotten really smart. How he's gotten really smart is he knows that if my intimate tank is full, his intimate tank is going to be probably full later on. So he's figured that out.
Sometimes guys, we're just slow. I remember years ago, and this was years ago, it was late at night, and there was some affection, the way I like affection, that was starting to play out. And I'm thinking, man, I was looking at Jamie going, what's gotten into you? And she said, do you remember earlier when you cleaned out the dishwasher? And I was like, I literally thought, that's what turned you on? Are you serious? We are so slow sometimes. But we just have to understand, it's not that women don't like sex, it's just that oftentimes their definition of affection is very different. And so what I would say to you guys is maybe this. I would say affection is the environment, sex is the event. She needs the environment like you need the event. Or here's how I wrote it in your notes. Women need affection like men need sex. Now I realize there's someone who would say that, I desire it more than my husband right now, but oftentimes that's just because you desire it because you want to feel closer to him. And that's a way of feeling close. So guys, let's just kind of summarize. These are her top 5 needs. And again, this is not to beat you up. I want to equip you. I want you to be her hero. I want to give you a sword and a shield so you can go to battle for her. Now, if you're feeling challenged today, men, because I feel challenged when I look at this list. There's lots of places I don't live up. If you're feeling challenged, I'm just telling you to embrace it. Move forward. So the takeaway today for you is very, very simple. You just simply ask your spouse or ask the person you're in a relationship with, maybe which one of these 5 needs some of my attention? Now you're thinking, I just asked her something last week. My goodness, Again, this is not a one and done, guys. Remember, she likes to have a conversation. You gotta keep moving forward. Now ladies, let me talk really bluntly and honestly to you. The worst thing you could do with this message is throw it in his face. If you shame him because of this, you will lose every single time. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 tells us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. So you, ladies, if he comes to you and he tries to move in your direction in any way, man, you cheer him on. I mean, you humbly cheer him on. That's what you do with the kids. I mean, they draw a terrible picture and you put it on the refrigerator and you're like, yay. That's kind of what you have to do with him, right? His efforts may not look great, but you have to cheer him on if you want to encourage him. Do you understand that? Do not throw this in his face. Now, guys, the advice I would give you is the worst thing you could do is if you take some steps to move towards her level of her needs, do not expect things to change overnight. There may be some wounds and some things from the past that just take some time, you know, to heal. But keep taking steps forward. Ladies, we're talking about his needs next week. So don't you dare miss. But and you might feel just as challenged as he feels right now. But guys, listen, if it feels hopeless, remember, you won her once, you can win her again. And if you ever think maybe the grass is just greener on the other side, you know, maybe just be easier with somebody else, remember, when the grass seems greener on the other side, it's time to water your own yard. So men, take some steps in this area this week and know that, you know, next week we're going to be talking to your wives. Could you imagine if every marriage at CCV did this? Do you imagine the impact it would not only make on us but our valley? So guys, let me just end with this. If you walked out of church today and someone attacked your wife and she's laying there on the ground and she's going to be harmed, would you not lay your life down, lay it all on the line for her? Of course you would. It's how God designed you. If your marriage is under attack, why would you not lay everything on the line to fight for the woman that years ago you said, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, and in sickness and in health? So as we close today, I'm gonna ask Jamie to just pray for marriages today. And we're praying for you. And so just like we did last week, if you're sitting next to a person that you're with here, would you just reach over and grab their hand, and I'm gonna grab Jamie's hand, and I'm just gonna ask her that God would give us the strength to move forward with our marriages. Would you pray for us?
I will. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that we go to a church that loves you and puts you first. Thank you for the gift of marriage. Thank you that you created it. It was one of the first things you created. We thank you so much just for that gift. Lord, I wanna lift up women right now. I pray for grace and humility this week as they move forward and they experience their men leading for maybe the first time in this area. We just pray that they would, no matter what small steps their men take, would you just help them to encourage them in the ways that are honoring to you. Lord, I pray for our men. I pray that you would just give them strength this week to just push forward and do some uncomfortable things for the sake of their women. Lord, we just thank you so much just for another day to get this right, another chance. And I pray for those women and men who are just barely, and those marriages that are barely hanging on, Lord. I just pray that they will give it one more try. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.